Welcome to the official Espigan podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Noisley.
Hey folks, I hope that you think it's good to hear from me again, because here I am, with Professor Ivan Vandenplas of Brussels, where he was chief of pediatrics for a good long while and has only recently moved into emeritus status. He's been everywhere, seen everything, done everything, but his greatest contribution, as far as I can garner from his curriculum vitae and from the articles that he asked us to take a look at in preparation for this podcast, is in feeding disorders, in the sorting out of what is a functional feeding disorder of infancy from, in particular, the feeding disorders of cow's milk allergy. Now, I'm a simple country hepatopathologist, and although I certainly saw a good number of esophageal biopsies from children who were being worked up for cow's milk allergy, looking for eosinophils and such things, I never really understood how frequent this diagnosis of cow's milk allergy is. And Professor, as I look at the articles that you've sent, nobody knows how frequent this is. Or have I got that by the wrong end of the stick?
No, you got it completely right. Because we, in fact, do not have a good, reliable diagnostic test for cow's milk allergy. I mean, the golden standard is an oral food challenge, to which then the child should react. But many parents do refuse that, simply because if you do an oral food challenge, you make the child sick again. So the best studies and the only way to really make the diagnosis clear is by putting a child that you suspect to have a cow's milk allergy on an elimination diet. Symptoms decrease or disappear, and then reintroduce cow's milk again into the diet of the child, and then symptoms should relapse. So that's the way how you diagnose cow's milk allergy.
That is to say, you withdraw the child from exposure to milk products, and then after 2 to 4 weeks, you reintroduce them, and you expect a reaction of sorts. Now, if it's IgE mediated, you might wind up with a kid in anaphylaxis. So does this always have to be conducted in a hospital?
Well, if it's IgE mediated, there is indeed a small risk to develop anaphylaxis. That's why we recommend in IgE mediated allergy to do it at least under medical supervision and in an environment where if something happens, you can immediately react, which in practical means that it is most safe to do it in a hospital environment, yes. Mm-hmm. Which, again, in many countries, it's not always easy to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Impracticable. And then, as you mentioned, you run into the problem of mothers and fathers saying, you're not going to put my kid through that again. We'll just cut out the milk products and hope that things get better. But cutting out milk products, returning to breast milk, sometimes it's not possible to return to breast milk. Sometimes you have to use autolyzed formulas or other, say, plant-based formulas. And then you get into problems with nutritional deficiencies, or you could get into problems with nutritional deficiencies. This is a big deal.
Yes, that's one of the issues that at least most of the time for the older children which still are having cow's milk allergy, because of course all the dietary products, the extensive hydrolysates, the plant-based infant formulas, per definition, the infant formulas contain all the nutrients which are needed for the infant. So okay, as long as the infant is formula fed and using infant formula, Nutrition should not be really an issue if the infant gets enough volume to drink. The problem comes when the child is older and gets a diversified diet, and then gets a diet which is cow's milk free, then there may become nutritional deficiencies. Yes.
Well, take us through then, if you will, the diagnosis and treatment process for a child suspected of having cow's milk allergy. What leads to the suspicion? What should make a primary care provisioner, a primary care provider, suspicious that cow's milk allergy is contributing to the problem?
Yes, well, awareness about cow's milk allergy and the symptoms related to it, and that's not always easy, because there is not one symptom which is specific for cow's milk allergy, and many infants present with a combination of different mild symptoms, which often causes the healthcare professional to not immediately think about cow's milk allergy. So I think history taking and physical examination, listen to the parents, is the first thing to do. And then yes or no, decide to do blood sampling for specific IgE or skin prick test if you suspect IgE-mediated allergy. And if that's positive, that will help you to have more confirmation about that your ID was probably right. And then you put the child on that elimination diet, but also probably about half of the infants do have non-IgE-mediated cow's milk allergy, which means they are allergic, but your IgE testing is completely negative. In order to increase awareness of healthcare professionals, we developed with colleagues from ESPGHAN the COMIS, which is the cow's milk-related symptom score. In fact, intended to increase awareness of the healthcare professional that the infant presenting with this combination of symptoms may well have cow's milk allergy. But it's absolutely not a diagnostic tool, it's just an awareness tool. But it helps the healthcare professional to not forget that it might be cow's milk allergy.
Take us through the elements of the COMIS score.
Well, it's a combination of different symptoms. It's gastrointestinal symptoms, so regurgitation, how frequent does the infant regurgitate, what is the estimated volume, the aspect of the stools, hard or soft stools or diarrhea, skin manifestations as atopic dermatitis, and also general symptoms such as crying and distress, and respiratory symptoms are also included in that score. So it's a way to score the severity, the intensity of different manifestations, and then you come up with one final score, and then depending on the level of that score, you increase or decrease the awareness that this combination of symptoms might be caused by cow's milk allergy.
Mm-hmm. So this particular child whom you're seeing falls into the COMIS score positive or into the COMIS score negative category. And then you have to use your just plain your clinical smarts to say maybe it's cow's milk allergy but with a lowish, or maybe it's certainly looks like cow's milk allergy, mm-hmm. but we have to keep other things in mind.
Absolutely.
But all of those things that you mentioned, it, at least as far as I can see, are really nonspecific. Go on. I mean, even blood in the stools, that's just nonspecific.
Yes, absolutely. That's non-specific. But in fact, what happens in a lot of situations is that either healthcare professionals do not consider that symptoms such as crying and distress or reflux on their own are symptoms of cow's milk allergy, possibly, or they are over-considering it. Putting every infant which cries a lot on cow's milk elimination diet. And that's, of course, also not the intention, because infant colic, for instance, occurs in 20% of all the infants. And Absolutely, cow's milk allergy does not occur in 20% of all the infants. So the advantage of the COMI score is that you need a combination of different symptoms in different organ systems in order to get a score to get to a level that you should be aware of cow's milk allergy. So it avoids also that a lot of infants with just single manifestations are put on elimination diet. And yes, aspect of stools is one of the issues, because of course the aspect of stools in breastfed infants is different than in formula fed infants. But on the other side, we did want to keep it simple, so we did not make a COMI score for breastfed infants and a COMI score for formula fed infants, because the more complicated you make it, then also the more errors that can be made.
Well, you have been training pediatricians in Brussels for donkey's years, and you had a chance to introduce all of your trainees to the COMI score, either in postgraduate or as they came through training. And how widely is it used in your catchment area, in Flanders and then again in Wallonia?
Yes, well, Belgium is indeed split up in two different countries, but all over in Belgium, it's, I think, used quite a lot by general pediatricians. And with that COMI score now, there are over 25 papers using that score. So it's being used in a lot of different parts of the world.
So a general pediatrician suspects cow's milk allergy and then says, you'd better get on the train to Brussels.
Well, I think the general pediatrician can diagnose and treat cow's milk allergy easily himself. You don't need specialized centers for it. But you need to be aware of it. And so the whole issue about cow's milk allergy is, in fact, that either pediatricians are over-aware and put too many infants on elimination diets, either they are not aware at all and never consider cow's milk allergy. So the issue about cow's milk allergy is find the right proportion between the risk for over and under diagnosis. And our hope is that COMIS will help to bring that awareness to a right level.
If you've already achieved its use in 25 published papers, then I think that's substantial. That's a real contribution.
Well, at least it's because if parents are anxious and they worry what is happening to their child, they go to Dr. Google, they find this kind of scores, non-validated on Google. And this tool has at least the advantage that it is a well-validated tool for which there is quite some evidence that it is useful as awareness tool.
Cow's milk allergy can come and go, can't it? Or it can subside or become less important clinically as the child ages. What underlies that?
Well, there are many things for allergy that we do not understand at all.
I certainly don't. I'm glad to hear you say that too.
So whatever you say about allergy, you always find literature which says that it's in agreement with your opinion, and you always will find literature which says you're completely wrong. So okay. What we know about the non-IgE-mediated cow's milk allergy, that almost 100% of the infants get cow's milk tolerant by the age of 1 year. Now, those who have IgE-mediated allergy tend to have cow's milk allergy persisting for longer. And there is somehow a relation between the level of the total IgE and the development of the oral tolerance. But let's say that 95% of the infants with cow's milk allergy will be tolerant to cow's milk at the age between 1 to 3 years.
So then it's a matter of just keeping your head down and your eyes closed and making the child feel comfortable, and it'll get better. It will get better. Offering reassurance to parents, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
There's so much of pediatrics that strikes me as offering reassurance to parents. What's that famous line from Spock's book? You know more than you think you do? Isn't that what how he opened his textbook on, opened his general public book on how to be a new mother? Anyhow, wonderful. We're coming up to the end of the podcast, at least in terms of time, and I'm afraid that we haven't covered half of what you'd like us to talk about. What have I left out? What would you like to make clear to this audience?
Well, I think what we focused on a lot is prevalence and how to diagnose it. And I think what is getting new in the area of management of cow's milk allergy is the use of rice hydrolysate formulas, so non-cow's milk-based products, or amino acid-based formulas, which are quite expensive, but which are there for the very severe cases. Those with anaphylaxis, which fortunately are quite rare. And I think what we also did not cover is prevention. But we have not to say very much about prevention, because that's also quite an area of debate. And there is no evidence today at all that prevention is possible or not.
But not even breast milk feeding? Not even?
No, even not. So if that was just what I was going to say, if even exclusive breastfeeding has no evidence at all that compared to formula feeding, that breastfeeding decreases the risk to develop allergy, why would a change of formula provide better evidence than mother's milk that you have a decreased risk to develop later allergy? So as we said already during this podcast, there is a lot of things about allergy which are absolutely unclear and to which we have no clue at all how to solve these issues. And much more research is needed. And one of the, I think, issues with allergy is that it's so multifactorial. And feeding is only one of the factors influencing and the risk to develop allergy, that if you only change feeding, you change maybe 5 or 10% of the risk factors, but that's probably insufficient to get an evidence-based change in the outcome, because other factors play such a major role as well.
Well, in that regard, then, you've really thrown down the gauntlet in front of the next generation of pediatricians. We've taken it as far as we can, says Professor Van den Plas, and now it's for you younger folks to sort out. Well, maybe the
next few... Absolutely agree.
Okay. Belgium. Belgium is a country with as I mentioned, Wallonia and Flanders, and over in one corner, up near Aachen, there's even a German-speaking population.
Yeah, about 50,000 people.
So you have the choice of a song in German, in French, or in Flams. And what have you chosen for us?
Well, I'm Flemish, so I
think... Had to be Flams, okay.
Flams a song.
And what have you chosen?
I did choose Laat ons nog een bloem, leave us a flower, which is a song which is...
That's after the tulip harvest. That's across the border.
Oh. Yeah, but it's a song which is more than 30 years old and which in fact says pays a lot of attention to pollution and to all those issues we are living today. So it was somehow... song predicting risks of the evolution of society as we see today.
And here we are.
If you would like to listen to the song, check out our Spotify playlist, Espigan's Favorite Songs.
Sir, thank you so much for the chance to speak about this topic and to finally meet somebody whose work I've known about for a long while, but well, we never met before. Everybody out there, thank you so much for listening in. And again, Professor, thank you for making yourself available.
Thank you very much.